Lisa, will you tell us how we are going to spend our next 2 hours? Where do we begin?
Yes. First, yet another look at the ABC model, just a short recap or revision of what it is, because there were a lot of discussion about it in the discussion forum with the final plans. Then Maria is going to show a bit more how Flinger works. And then we are going to discuss or talk about how we are going to teach, or how you are going to teach, or how do you think you are going to teach next autumn, next year, next academic year, and what are the things that you are maybe wanting to take with you from this restricted times of the pandemic, then when we are free of it and back to normal, if we are ever going to back to normal. So that's briefly the points that we are going to discuss now in this afternoon session. And of course, if there's something that you want to point out or bring up to discussion, that's always also possible. So we are very flexible with the rest of the schedule. Let's start with Maria. Would you like to share the show, because you're going to
I will do that.
Continue after mine? There's only one slide about this ABC model. I just want to
Yes, just a minute.
bring up a few points.
And here we go.
Yes, so this is just a revision or recap of the model, just to remind you how, and maybe about the original model, as was already pointed out in the morning sessions discussions, that the UCL model is based on face-to-face workshops, and workshops where you do your plan, or you make your plan as a group. And so what the original model consists of is, of course, these six categories of the learning types and the workshop that is had in three stages. So the first stage, which is kind of the preliminary analysis of your course and what you're going to do and how you're going to do, where you come up with a short description of your course, the main points, what is the purpose and the learning goals of the course. So that's the TWEET, as it is named in the model. And also you do the preliminary analysis according to the activities graph. Then after this, you go to the stage two, where you make the actual visual storyboard of your course. So that's the phase where you plan the different activities, different learning types, what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, and what kind of tools you're going to use. Are you going to be in online mode or face-to-face mode, or is it a blended, or and things like that. And then the last stage of the model is the presentation of the plan to others and discussion about it and getting feedback from the others, and also review the activities graph. And as we had that very quickly run through in our online meeting, there was of course there were then some points that we were missing. For example, in a face-to-face workshop, you usually have this short breaks or short 5 minute discussions in between the stages. So after the first stage, you of course present the TWEET and the the preliminary plan to your colleagues in that group, and then you get maybe feedback already there. And then during the second stage, where you plan or build a visual storyboard, you can also there you can get feedback from others, and you can go maybe if you are in a large auditorium, you can go walk around the auditorium and maybe see what others are doing in between your own planning. So maybe when you go and walk to another table and see what they are doing, you may maybe pick up something that they have come up with, and then you realize, okay, that's something that I could use as well. Or that's something that I didn't think about at all. And now when I see it in your plan, I can maybe use that as well. And then you go back to your own table into your own plan, and then you go ahead with your own course plan. So that's something that we missed when we did this in the online mode. Then maybe the main points of the model is that it can be adapted to your own needs. As we already saw, somebody was struggling or discussing about the struggles of where do quizzes go? Are they production or are they a practice, or where do I put them? And as I already answered in the forum, you can have activities in different learning types, or if you want to think about them as part of several learning cards, learning type cards. And if you looked at the learning type cards, the kind of the other side where you have the activities, there are also these blank spaces. So you can add also your own activities or the tools that you are using, you can add them. So the model is very adaptable, and actually there is no wrong or right way to use it. As we already saw in the plans when we practiced it in the workshop, you can think about it as you can do it vertically or horizontally, so that you can have like day one, day two, day three, or you can have week one, week two, week three, or you can have it by themes, as in Renato has done in your learning designer tool. You have kind of teams or sessions that you have how you base your plan. So there's no right or wrong way to use the model. And for example, in our face-to-face workshops here in our university, you could see in one workshop, for example, if you had five or six groups planning their courses, you could have five or six different styles of using the model. And so you can, as I said, you can also add activities in the learning type cards if you feel like that you want to have this card is now this activity is not mentioned in this type, this card, but I think and I feel that in my case, in my course, this belongs to this learning type. For example, this belongs to practice, in my opinion. I can add it there. And also, as I said, we in our university, we actually added one learning type card to the set. So the orientation and group forming groups, that was something that we wanted to add, because we felt that in this situation where we are online, the students getting to know each other and kind of becoming part of the group is more difficult when they have never even met each other. And if they are not always having the cameras on, it's very, very more difficult than if you are face to face. So that's why we wanted to add another learning type card. So that's what you can do as well. And you can use the model for designing a whole course or just a part of the course, or you could have it for a whole study program, for example. You could have your whole department making plans for the study program together. And as was mentioned in the ABC presentation earlier, the slides that I had, that they were the UCL slides that we used, and they mentioned that it could also be, or you could use it also for example, for strategic planning for your department. So it doesn't have to be just teaching and learning that you use the model for. So maybe these are just the main points to recap from the ABC model, and here's the link again to the UCL website. So if you want to, you can go there and you can download the toolkit. It's available freely, and there's also PowerPoints and slide sets that you can use, and you can then adapt or edit to your own needs if you want to use them. That's maybe everything I wanted to say about the ABC model. Does anybody have any comments or questions or want to add something?
Just I would like to add that one of the strengths of this model, it's very easy to apply directly. You don't need too much formation on it. I mean, you gave us in a few hours information about ABC. Of course, we can improve on it. We can go deep and deep on the planning, but you can just, it's a tool you can use immediately. And that's something that I always feel it's a little bit missing in many other pedagogical approaches. You know, they give you a very good framework, but you have to really study a lot about it to be at least to start using it. While with the ABC, you can just, you know, learning by doing immediately the way you want to design this course. And it's very direct. I mean, it's for me very easy to think how to use it. Then, of course, planning is not easy, but it's never easy. It's challenging, it's difficult, but it has to be if it is a good design, but it's very good to start.
Yes, that's what I thought as well. And maybe for the very first time that we took part in this kind of workshop, I was kind of because as I said, you can use it so many ways. I felt like, okay, do I have to do it like that or like that? And then the instructor said, you can choose yourself. And I was like, okay. And I was also, for the first time, I was afraid, okay, am I doing this right now? But then it's just that you can, and it's according to your views, how you see your course and how you usually plan it. And then you can just try to put it to the storyboard as you like and as you think it suits your plans. So yes, it's very easy to use.
It's more a strategy than a target. It's not something you have to reach. It's a way to reach what you want.
Yes.
I really like it.
Yes. Other comments? Okay, then I think we can go on. And I give the mic to Merja now.
Good, thanks. So as we discussed earlier in the first session, I will give you a short demonstration of how to use Fling. Not that many features to show, but I will show you examples of the two types of Flingers that you can create. So first, I will give you a short introduction with these slides, and then I will go to Flinger and create fling a wall or whiteboard or both both for you. And as this will be recorded, don't worry, you can watch this later on again if you want to check some details. So the next topic is Flinger in a nutshell. And I must say I'm happy that so many of you liked Flinger and wanted to use it, because this is a Finnish application, a Finnish made in Finland, and it is meant to create possibilities for interaction between teacher and students in the classroom or in online learning or however. And the idea is that this is easy to use. It doesn't demand any special application or special device, but the students can access Flinger boards with their mobile phones or tablets or computer, just with the browser. All they need is a browser and the address of the Flinger wall or whiteboard. And so this functions on most used mobile devices. There's HTML5 support. And also if in schools with younger pupils, if they have this bring your own device environment, or they can, the school can borrow tablets, for example, for school kids, they can use this as well. And there's also LTI credentials available. And Flinger, so we already have used it for several times during this course. It is free to use, but it requires registration. And if you want to use it for free without the license, you have maximum of 5 active lessons. If you want a new session after those 5 maximum, you have to delete a previous one. Or, of course, you can reuse them. You just use the Flinger board and then you export the content, the whatever the participants have produced, to an Excel sheet, and then you can delete everything and use it again if you want. And there are 2 options, a whiteboard and a wall. And we have been, in this course, we have been using whiteboard because there you can add your own background images. But I will show you both options. So this looks familiar to us. Flinger whiteboard, why I very often choose this is that if I want to add my own background image. So here we have 2 examples. The upper one is from our course, from this course. So I had made these 3 slots there: opportunities and benefits and challenges and technical or pedagogical tools. And then you were adding notes under these 3 categories. That's one option. Or for example, if I would like to have a SWOT analysis of something, then you just put these slots for strengthnesses, weaknesses, and so on. And here is another example picture that I made for you, just to show you what kind of background images you could be using, because now we have been using these kind of different categories types. But for example, with this example, I have made these stairs, pre-task, introduction, assignment, and feedback, and then the participants can then add their own ideas there. And we have been using these kind of sticky notes, digital sticky notes, but you can also add, like on this upper stair above feedback, there are these persons that you can also add there. So for example, if we would be planning some process, then we could add roles like students does this and professor does that. So just to show you different kinds of, and you can add titles and subtitles and text. So just to show you different types of things you can add there. So whiteboard we already know. And then the other option is Flinger wall. And this is how it looks like. There are two options, either a grid where these kind of sticky notes or images, you can also add images as well as to the whiteboard as well, not only as the background images, but as the regular image there. Either they are organized as a grid and they simply, they are organized in the order that they have been added there, or you can shift them all to list. You can go between these two options. You don't have to, it's okay. You can choose it or change it back. So either a grid or a list. I will demonstrate you soon how it looks like. And then what is nice here that you can have this kind of option for voting. There are likes here. So for example, in this example, if I really like this idea that was written on this green note, then I can go and click this little heart. So it's one, I can only vote once or like one paper or idea once. And then when we have a bigger group of students, then we can organize these according to the order of the most liked ideas. So we get this kind of ranking for the ideas. Yeah, Renato, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, in this wall modality, mm-hmm. is just the teacher or the Flinga creator who creates the notes and the students just vote on the
No.
Everyone. Yes. Can vote and put notes on it.
Yes, okay. Yes, exactly, yes. Yes, just the way we have been using whiteboard. Yes, so of course, for example, me and Lisa were thinking if we would have been using this wall mode in the afternoon session just to show you an example of it, but then we should have already kind of plant some sticky notes there with some ideas and you could vote, and it's kind of, but yes, in absolutely, this is for sharing ideas and liking for students as well. So that's the idea. They can write their ideas, or as in this example, some they can upload images there as well, and then they can like each other's postings here. And I think I will go to Flinga now and I will show you how to create this, and I will say a few words of the settings, because it's important to choose correct settings, that if you have used a background image, for example, then nobody destroys your structure. So just a minute, I will share another window here. Yes, so here we are. This is now the Flinga page. I will zoom in a bit. Can you see clearly?
Yep,
good. Yep. So I can show you both options, first whiteboard and then the Flinga wall. So if I start with the whiteboard that we have been using during this course, I start with create a session. I will give it a name, testing. Very good name here now. And I create it. And this is how it looks like when it's empty. This is now an empty Flinga white wall. And I want to show you the options. The settings are here on the upper left corner. They hide behind this kind of hamburger tile, these three lines here, and then you can open them. But we'll get back to these later. But this is empty now. For example, I could share the address of this Flinga board to students. I don't have to do any preparation here. They could just come and add their ideas here. But I will show you how to use these background images, which we have been using now, because it very often helps in kind of categorizing things, for example. So here we have some types. You can add square, circle, person, title, subtitle, text, and you can also add an image behind this camera icon here. Let's zoom in a bit here. And then I will upload an image here. I choose different type of image that we have been using. So for example, I will show you some examples. So for example,
Sorry, Maria, those images are, you don't know, you don't need to create them. They are in the application.
No, you have to create yourself. There are no images in this application. You have to create them yourself. So you can use photos, or you can like what I have been doing is just to use PowerPoint and then make some chart or diagram in PowerPoint, for example, and then just save that one slide as an image JPEG, and then I can upload it here. So now that I went through this, I first clicked this camera icon, and then I searched for an image from my computer or from my own resources. And now the image is here, but doesn't look like a background image yet. Then I activate the image and I go to this menu here and I choose background. And now I can just resize this as I wish. So I kind of drag this to a bit bigger size. And a good tip for you, if you want to use this kind of background image, then lock this image, because otherwise, depending on the settings of your Flinger whiteboard, students might be able to drag and drop or delete it. So just activate the image by clicking it and then click this lock icon above. There it is. And now I have locked it, so no one else can do anything to that. And now, of course, if I wanted to make some, for example, titles or instructions here, I could write something, choose a color here and then send and put it here and so on. And now I go to the settings. Now it would be kind of ready for the students or her colleagues or whoever you want to share this with. And now if we go to settings, there's the session name. This is the name that I gave to this Flinger board. Here is the access code. If you go to Flinger's front page, you can also access a Flinger session with this access code. But as we have been using, we just copy this join link. Or if you are, for example, in a seminar or classroom or on somewhere where you could use these QR codes, here Flinger already offers you one. And then this is just full screen mode for you. But then these session rules are important. Now we have four options. The first one, the default setting is that the participants can control every object on the session, which can get kind of messy because they accidentally delete each other's notes or whatever. So please check these. The next one is that participants can control own and other participants' objects, meaning that as you created this whiteboard, your objects will be left alone, but students can delete or edit each other's objects. But what we recommend you to use is this participants can control own objects, meaning that Renato can delete or modify his own notes, or Christina can modify her own notes, and so on. This is the safe one. If you, for some reason, if you want to have this option that participants cannot control anything on the session, then this is possible too. But I think this that you can control your own objects, meaning that you can drag and edit your own notes, that's the best option, especially if you are using this in the lectures. Then other settings are you can create a copy of this, and you can go to session settings and choose the colors if you want, or you can decide that you only want to use the square and titles, for example, or if you would like to add drawing here, it is as a default, it's not on here. Yeah, and yeah, Renato had a very good point in the chat that this last setting is good if you want to freeze the result, that no one goes and messes it around after the session. Yeah, that's good. So for example, now as the default setting, everything else is already on except drawing. But now if I wanted to add it here, I can do that. Click update. And then export session means that when this is finished and students have shared their ideas here, then I can export all these written things to an Excel file. A good question, probably export the images too, or at least it should. Or leave session, is just go away from the session. But this is Flinga. What I like in Flinga is that it is that simple. I show you now the drawing. So example, for if I would like to draw some charts or points or something like this, I don't think pre-task is necessary here. Then I can, or of course, I can write here something like this. So I think it's up to your own purposes, how you would like to use this. Or now I could actually show you, this is now the whiteboard. I will show you another example of a background image. So it could be a photo, for example, or it could be a chart. I make this as the background so I can, oh no, there it is. So I can drag the size and then I can lock it. But for example, if you would like to, I have now some chart here. If you would like to get some feedback on this, then your colleagues could comment on here. Oops, now I didn't lock it. so it was activated. Yes, like this. And now I could write messages here. This must be wrong, like commenting on some development or charts or numbers. So just to give you a few ideas, or it could be a photo or mind map, for example, or might be like an empty mind map that the students should fill. So this is the whiteboard mode. Do you have any questions or comments on this before I show the wall that we haven't used on this course?
It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Then I think we are happy with the whiteboard, and then I will go and create another. I will create you a wall. So, and now wall is the one where we have this grid or list option. So once again, this is very empty now that there is this nothing here yet. And as the difference, I think, in my opinion, the main differences between wall and whiteboard are that in the wall you cannot use an image as a background, and but with the wall you can have the kind of voting with the likes. And yes, we do. Jyväskylä University has an institutional account for Flinga, so that's why we can make probably as many Flingas as possible. But yes, you are correct, Renata. We have bought the license to Flinga. So, for example, let's see the differences between wall and whiteboard. We can check. Or you can show these notes as a slideshow in the slideshow mode, which means that it zooms to them one by one. And then otherwise the settings are about the same. I will write you some, or write some notes here and then show how it works. And once again, you can, of course, you can agree. For example, you can have a color code, for example, ideas with yellow or if you have several topics that you would like to have people commenting. And then we can add images as well. Let's try with that one. And even if the images are small here, you can then, for example, if we go to this slideshow mode, you can see them in a bigger mode. Now, if you see when I click on these notes, there is this little heart icon for the likes. And I have only one like option per note, so I cannot give more than one vote for these ideas. But now I will change this image because it was not a good example. I will take another one. And now I will show you the two options, how the list and grid options work.
Maria, one question. Yeah. Sorry, yep. Interrupting you.
Yeah, no worries.
Can you know who likes, who has done her like or his like?
No, this is anonymous because it's only the web address that I share to students. Then I cannot know who is who. So this is very, very good point. This is the nature of this tool, is anonymous. I cannot know who has liked or who has written and what. So now this is now the grid mode. And as you can see, in the grid mode, the default order is it's from older, like the oldest first, first come, first show, or you can change it to newest first, or you can take the most liked first. So for example, if we are having a meeting of our organization, like a unit meeting, department meeting, and there we have a kind of brainstorming session and there are like 30 different ideas, and then we want to have some kind of order or priorities for them, then we just ask people to like the options that they do support, and then we will immediately get the order of their likes. Yes, this is very similar to Kahoot brainstorming slide, Renato says. Yes, that's true. And now I show you the list mode. Okay, just a minute, Daniel. I will show you the list mode because there's not much difference otherwise than it makes a list and the options are the same. Older first, newer first, or most liked first. But yes, Daniel, go ahead. You have a question.
Just a question. Is it single like per person or?
Yes, single like per person.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
So one vote per user. Yes, per note. I mean, I have to be careful to put it right. I can only vote one, like once per idea. I can vote all of these if I want to. Yes, I can.
Okay.
Like,
so
yes.
It's, Okay.
Yes. So I cannot.
It's not a single vote in the whole.
Yes, it's single note per idea, but I can all if I want. So, for example, let's take this example of a department meeting where we vote of these ideas. Then we could agree that you have 3 votes or 5 votes, 5 likes. You can like 5 suggestions. So then we see which ones get the most votes, but you cannot really restrict it here. It's just something that you have to agree. And of course, unfortunately, you cannot know if someone is cheating and voting 4, 6, or 7 times. But yeah, so this is kind of keeping it simple. Oh yes, if only department meetings work this way, that you could actually vote on something. But you can use this on your course, maybe like that. So this is now the basic idea of Fling. I will show you the slideshow because I told you that in this wall you can have these ideas or images as a slideshow. So for example, as we know, if you write a lot of text to this tiny note, the font size goes to quite small. But then I can go to slideshow mode and go them through one by one, and you see the content and you also see the likes. And here is now the image. You could only see this kind of tiny preview of it in this Flinger wall, but now here is the whole image. And this is now the background image that I had in one of the previous examples in Flinger whiteboard. Okay, that's about it, what I wanted to share you of this Fling. And here I just show the session settings of this wall as well. There is no drawing here, as you see. And if you like, you can disable uploading images, or you can, for example, restrict the amount of colors. For example, if you want to use this traffic lights coloring, like green, for the things that we would like to develop or continue doing, and red for the things that we want less, and so on. So you can do this. Any questions of Flinger whiteboard or wall?
Yes, Maria. Well, I guess I was trying now to do something with Flinger because I like to practice at the same time.
Yeah. You're talking. Okay.
And now I don't know how to delete the session. And the session I created for my course, I can access to it, but not to edit, just to see what is going on there. And I don't know why it doesn't appear.
Have you logged into your Flinger user account? Okay. Let me see. I will stop sharing if I will be able to help you. Or would you like to share your screen? If we can get the idea where it is. If you go to Flinger, kind of the front page of your, like the Flinger's home page, and log in there, can you then get your sessions? There. So if you go to, stay there, and if you go to sessions, click the sessions in the upper next to the join. There. So if
can you hear me? Because I was muted.
So here is latest and all and favorite sessions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and this is what I created now. But the previous one, what I did time ago, I cannot see that. I don't know what happened. Probably, I don't know. I really don't know, because I was, trying to do things. And I can access to my Flinga sessions, the one which I created for my lesson. But as I told you, it doesn't appear here in my Flinga profile. So
I think we should get back to this because I cannot, as we are using this campus license, I'm not sure if there's, I don't think there is an expiration date. At least I haven't read anything like that in the instructions, but I can check this because the instructions are way better in Finnish than in English. So I have to get back to you in case there's an expiration date, but there shouldn't be. It should be these maximum 5 sessions as long as you wish. But I will get back to you, Fernando, with this. Yeah. Renato, you have something to say?
Is the interface mobile friendly? I mean, because I imagine most of the students, especially in the classroom, are using it with their mobile phones. So is this usable?
Yes, mobile? Yes.
I was going to open it on my mobile now, but I wouldn't look rude checking my mobile during the meeting, but I will do that later.
Yes. It functions on most used mobile devices. There is HTML5 support, so it should work with mobile phones as well. And actually, as I was in the beginning of the presentation, I had this screenshot of a hand with the smartphone using Flinga with the mobile phone. So that has been one of the ideas of creating a tool that it's easy to access with any device. No, not wherever you can use a web browser, that's enough, and it's a very light.
Well, imagine that in Finland you are very keen to your mobile phones, right?
So we are, yes. Even if Nokia is not doing that
well anymore. Mobile, yeah. Nokia and so on. Okay.
Yes, that's true, and we have very good coverage of like mobile and data networks and good devices. People and also like older citizens also use very actively. We hardly have any landlines anymore. It's everything seems to be working with mobile phones and mobile.
It is the same in Italy, but I think that this any tool we are going to use if we're going to go digital must be chosen with respect to this aspect, because most of the students, especially in the classroom, will just use their mobile. And even if they have a computer, using a mobile is so direct, so immediate that they don't have to, boot a computer and so on. And especially if you want to have, audience response system or this, answer garden or Flinga or the stuff, being mobile ready, it's very, very important.
Yes,
Works very well on the iPhone.
Yeah.
I just did it. Very easy to use and drag and drop, and you can create everything. That's quite easier than on the computer.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Matthew.
And can you see properly? Because I have problems in seeing what when you share your presentation, I have some problems sometimes in order to read, because what you said before, the size of the letters are becoming very, very
tiny. Yes. So you can zoom in, and then if you are using this Flinga wall, then you can use this slideshow mode where one note fulfills the whole screen. Yeah, but you can zoom in, and you have to. That's true. If you write a lot of words, their font size really gets small. But this is it's easy to zoom. So that's just the secret to zoom in. Okay. Any other questions about Flinga? If not, then we can proceed forward, and I will shortly show you something before we have a break, and then we will have the last hour of our meeting. I will now share my screen from our Moodle course. Cannot you? I can zoom in, but you cannot really read this. But it's not the idea. I just wanted to show you this final tab of our, or this tab of our final session, Tuesday and roundup seminar. So here at the bottom of the page, we have the PDF file with the slides, but I wanted to share with you now just to get you new ideas or opinions or views of these digital competencies and a lot of issues that we have been discussing here already. I wanted to share you some interesting blog posts, and there are actually links to other articles or publications here in these blog posts. Three of the posts are from one and the same blog, but they were so kind of fascinating and suit well to the topics of our course that I added all of them here. So three of the blog posts are written by Alistair Creelman, who is an e-learning specialist in a Swedish university. And he has written of great expectations and how to manage them. And this, I think this is something that we all recognize. Some people always misunderstand you, your most carefully planned and explained activities. This comes back to the fact that you really have to have clear instructions, especially in online learning. And very, very interesting ideas he's sharing there. And this is also a good point that he's making, that it's kind of too easy to think of students as a collective instead of a diverse group of individuals, as we already discussed in the session of accessibility, that students are individuals and they have separate needs, individual needs. Then what we also discussed in our session about synchronous versus asynchronous learning, there's an interesting blog post about teaching without video meetings, and Alistair is also pointing out that we should always consider if these video meetings are essential or if any other methods would be more effective. So this we already have discussed. And then these two posts here at the bottom, they're actually of the same topic. This at the bottom was actually mentioned in this Alistair Creelman's blog posting, but this is very interesting topic, and especially if we think about the new normal or the next normal after this COVID pandemic, drowning in content, but what we need is community. So at the moment we have been at the university and academics have been producing a lot of content, and suddenly academics became video editors, mostly bad ones, and our students turned to YouTube because in YouTube you can get a better explanation of the same thing for free. Universities turned from communities of learning and collaboration into B-grade content providers. Very interesting and very provocative opinions as well, but I think we kind of, at least I recognize the phenomena that they are writing about. So should we merely, for example, have professional content providers to do the content, and then we can concentrate on the kind of creating the community and interaction and so on. So please have a look at them. They are short, not now, later, or you can use your couple of minutes break to this if you want. But I just wanted to share these to you because we have been discussing about these topics, and I pretty often recognize this kind of pain in academics' minds, that when you don't know the tools or you have no time to do something like video edit some errors from your recording, and then the main question is that, is that really necessary, or does it make your video lecture any worse, or does it really matter? So please have a look at these. You can find them in this tab of the roundup seminar today. So Any questions or comments?
I just have a question. How do you have tabs in Moodle? Is this a plugin or
you don't have it in your
I don't have it in my Moodle.
So if it's not in the core of the Moodle, then it must be an add-on. We can get back to this. I can turn to my colleagues. But this is one of the course formats. If you go to the course page and take the course formats, then
it depends on the template of your university, unfortunately, and you must ask your university if your template make available as is, because we don't have this in our university, but there are several kind of templates you can choose.
Yes, but it's a type of course format. Yeah, you can turn to your IT and or Moodle admins. And
I will have to stalk them, but I will try.
They are good. They are good, and especially in something like this that we are kind of processing step by step or week by week or lecture by lecture, then it's easier to kind of organize the content with these tabs than just have it all at one page.
I don't like them to scroll down all the way down.
Yes.
That's why I like it, what Aaron did in his Moodle, you know, a table at the beginning with all the links.
Yeah.
But it's with tabs, it's very, very good.
Yes.
It's way better. I have to look into it. Okay.
Yes. Thank yes. You.
See you in a few minutes.
Yes, good. So I think it's a good time for a couple of minutes break. Let's continue 5 past your starting hour. So let's have a 5 minutes break, and then we will have our last hour of the training. So have a refreshing cup of coffee. Yes, get some tissues for the tears when we have to say goodbye, and see you in 5 minutes.
See you. Bye.
Yes, great. Back from the refreshing 5 minutes break. Yes. Good. So almost 1 hour or less than 1 hour to go. And let's see, we're not going back to Fling, but we are going to a small group discussion. So what we are going to do, yes, that's the correct slide. One more small group discussion that we would like to activate your thinking related to lessons learned in this training, and also concerning the future, like you can think about next autumn or the new normal or the next normal or however the world will be after the worst peak or the fourth wave or how many waves of the pandemic we'll go through. So we will have a small group discussion with kind of two or actually even three different angles. First, we would like to hear what are the methods or things or activities or pedagogical methods that you have used during the lockdown and that you would like to continue using. So, for example, if you have now been more active in using Moodle, for example, would you like to continue that even when students get back to campus? Or, for example, any of the tools or methods you have learned in this training, or it doesn't have to be related to this training, but this is kind of more a wider perspective, just to kind of activate our ideas of the future. So this is on the left side of this Flinger board, and then we have we would also like to have your ideas of the tools or ways of communicating after the training, so between these participants of the training. So how can we stay contacted, as we talked in the very beginning of the morning first session today? And also, because there is the, in the Fordham project, there is also the idea of kind of digital mentoring system or network in e-learning methods. We would like to activate your thinking that how could you share the ideas or methods or tools that you have learned now in your own organization. And now, as we're at the end of the DigiCompetencies training, I'm putting this a bit more difficult. I have color-coded these notes on this, on this. On the left side, you can use any colors of these lessons learned, any colored notes that you wish. But on the right side, when we think about the ways of communicating of this group and how to share the ideas in your own organization, please use these color codes, that this orange is for the communication in the future for these training participants, and the green is for sharing the ideas, methods, tools in your own organization, because you could get some good ideas from each other and experiences as well. And actually, I would like to ask Liisa, before we share you to the breakout rooms, I would like to ask Liisa to share some ideas how this digital online learning mentoring system is done in our home university here in Jyväskylä.
Yes, we have a group of what we call digital peer support persons, or in Finnish, that is the direct translation is digital godparents. So they are teachers. There are 1 to 2 teachers in every faculty who are these digital peers. And they are kind of a middlemen or middle persons between their colleagues in their faculties or departments and between the official digital support. For example, in our team, our team is responsible for the official guidance and support for using digital tools in teaching and learning. So these teachers are kind of they are bringing their colleagues or their departments' needs or questions or ideas to us, and then again they have a very active they are an active group. They have meetings together, so they get then ideas from us to bring back to their faculty. So they are not of course, they are teachers, and they teach their subject and their courses. But then they are people who are very interested and kind of a pioneers in using different tools and technology in their teaching. So they are someone who is very enthusiastic and want to be of help to others as well. And this started. In our university, they started 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago. Our university got funding from the Ministry of Education and Culture to set up a project of how the teachers could be supporting each other and how the use of technology could be brought to more people and more teachers could get use of that. So that was the how this project started with the funding. And there were a lot of interesting teachers who participated, about 40 people participated in the first project. And now last autumn, when the ministry funding ended, or the project ended, then our university, fortunately, they made a decision that this kind of digital peer group are here to stay. So now each faculty has funding or resourcing in their faculty for these 1 to 2 teachers. So this role of digital peer is put in their work plans as well. So they have also hours to spend to this kind of work. So that's how this is. This is one of these things, how this digital guidance and support can be arranged as well.
So our university has been actively supporting this, and also the support staff, kind of digital education support staff, has been using their time to support and activate this network.
Yes, and I could add to this special funding that was gained from the Ministry of Education and Culture. There was a big project launched by the ministry to develop and to support the use of technology in teaching and learning. And several universities were taking part in this project. So it was not only our university, but there are similar types of groups in several universities now that started with the special funding.